Thank you for listening to the Word of Deliverance podcast. We hope it'll be a blessing to you. If you would like to sow into this ministry, please go to wodchurch.com and click give. Forever. Yes. Hallelujah. Sometimes in the middle of situations and circumstances, we forget it's forever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thankful for the power of His Holy Spirit. Thankful for His presence. Thankful for His anointing. Amen. The greatest present we can receive is His presence. And really, when you think about it, the greatest present we receive even at the holidays is the presence of those that we love. Amen. More important than gifts, more important than presents, more important than money and all of the great things, it's the presence. Amen. Spending time, the song says, spending time together with our families, sharing lots of love and happiness. Hallelujah. Coming together, the presence. Hallelujah. Song says, your presence is heaven to me. The presence of the Lord in our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Sing with me if you will. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, hallelujah. Silent nights. All is calm and all is bright. Yeah. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you this morning. We're doing our series of Christmas sermons, I guess we call them. Holiday sermons. Sermons that we spend more time on maybe this time of year. But it's not just a Christmas sermon. It's an all through the year sermon. Amen. The greatest gift that ever received is a babe in a manger. Born in Bethlehem. Hallelujah. But how do we know it wasn't just that moment of preparation? But there had been prophesied for hundreds of years that a baby would be born. Isaiah 7 and 40. It had been prophesied for hundreds of years that the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the Savior that would come. And we talked last week a little bit, you know, most through the years I talk a good bit about Handel's Messiah and the great piece written by George Frederick Handel. And the very prophetic word that is preached in that series of songs. And it really begins with out of the book of Isaiah, and it begins with, you know, we're going to go to Isaiah 40 and 1 here in a minute, but it takes you all the way through the prophecies of the coming, the prophecies of the Messiah, the one who was to come, to the birth and to the declaration of the angels, and then to his life, his passion, his death, his burial, his resurrection. And then we end, of course, with the Alleluia chorus, which is a very anointed, very profound piece of music. And so we hear that piece of music. And I saw a sermon the other day that somebody did on a Christmas sermon. It said getting a Handel on Christmas with a spin on the word Handel's Messiah. But you know, the prophecies had been coming for hundreds of years that a baby would come, a virgin would conceive and bear a child, and that his name would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Aren't you thankful that his name is called Emmanuel? not just Jesus, but his name is called Emmanuel, God with us. And so what we see is when the angel, last week we talked about Mary, when the angel comes to Mary and says his name's going to be called Jesus, but when he comes to Joseph, Mary's espoused husband, he says, go ahead and call his name Emmanuel, because this is a God thing. Aren't you glad that what God wants to do in us is a God thing? And Mary said, well, how could this be? Because I don't know a man. I've never been with a man. I've never been intimate with a man. He says, okay, Mary, because this thing isn't about a man. This thing's going to be about the Most High. This thing's going to be the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. This is a Holy Ghost thing. Hallelujah. And aren't you glad for the Holy Ghost thing in your life? When there's sometimes situations, circumstances, and things that arise, and it's not about what man can do. It's not about what man can present, what man can prepare you for, what man can give you. It's all about what the power of the Holy Spirit can do. I'm thankful for the power of the Almighty that has overshadowed my life and brought new birth in me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So I'm thankful for that. But the scripture, hallelujah, when we look at all the different scriptures in Isaiah, and we go ahead and bring up Isaiah 40 for me if you can. Are they coming up? Hallelujah. Isaiah 41 through 11 says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. When the song says, good tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy, oh, tidings of comfort and joy. If you read the first 39 chapters of the book of Isaiah, you're going to see there's a whole lot of woe is me and gloom and doom and despair. In the first portion of the book of Isaiah, as he begins to prophesy over the children of Israel and all of their captivity and all of the things that have happened over the years to them. But he gets to Isaiah chapter 40, but he said, but comfort ye my people. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. How many are glad the battle's over? Your warfare has been accomplished. It's not about what we have to fight for anymore. That her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. My scripture's a little bit covered up there by the trees. That's all right. Go ahead, verse. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. Thank you, sir. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Where do we know this scripture from? Where do we recognize this scripture? Back up one. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. John the Baptist. John the Baptist comes preaching what? Sermon from, he gets Isaiah's notes and he shows up in the book of Matthew and he starts preaching from the book of Isaiah. How many know that's not an accident? Isaiah said, there's going to be a voice in the land. There's going to be a voice in the earth. And the voice is going to say, make preparations for the Messiah. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. You know, there's a big popular TV show right now called The Voice. You know, that's a song. You know, they get on there and they sing and all that kind of stuff. How many know John the Baptist was the original The Voice? He was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. The voice. Of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. How many know in the wilderness and in the desert places is where we need the Lord? We need him in every area of our life, but how many know every one of us probably has been through a wilderness or a desert place in our life at some point? Amen? Hallelujah. But how many are thankful for the voice, even in the wilderness, as it says, prepare. Go ahead and make way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the godliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that bringeth forth good tidings, get thee up into the high mount. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Is that the last verse there that I gave you? Hallelujah. So Isaiah begins to cry out in verse 40 after 39 chapters of woe is me. Comfort ye my people. Say to them that their warfare is accomplished. And he begins to prophesy a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Now, does anybody remember how many years it was before we began to see what's about to take place? Go ahead to Galatians for me. Did I give you Galatians? Galatians 4, 4 through 5. It's about 400 years from the last prophet in the Old Testament that there's a span of over 400 years, which is what we call the dark period, where there doesn't seem like there's any prophetic voice, where God just does not seem to be saying anything. But from the time of the prophecy of Isaiah, it was about a 700-year span. How many know that's a long time to wait on a prophecy to come to pass? Hallelujah. Anybody in here waiting on some prophecies to come to pass? Anybody waiting on any words to be fulfilled? Anybody waiting on God to fulfill some of the promises that he's spoken to us? I mean, sometimes you see them in your time, and sometimes you see them in the generations to come. See, I'm still convinced that my grandmother is still seeing fulfillment of prophecies and prayers and things that God spoke to her in her day that she did not get to see with her own natural eye, but she got to see them, I believe, in the generations of the seed of her loins, God fulfilling his word and his promises over the generations. Hallelujah. And so he begins to speak these things, but then Galatians tells us in Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of the time was come, everybody say it's time. Yeah. Hallelujah. God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now back up there one time. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, hallelujah, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. It's the fullness of time. In other words, the time is here. The time has come. Aren't you glad when the fulfillment of the promise comes to pass? And you can say that's a God thing. Thank God for his fulfillment of his prophecies. And what I love about Isaiah 40 and the chapter that we just read, down through verse 11, and there's some more in there, but the last verse of that scripture says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. I can't tell you the amount of times I have depended on that scripture. Hallelujah. And waiting on God. Hallelujah. Waiting on the promises of God to come to pass. But they that wait, in other words, those who stop and ponder and give a moment for God, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How many are ready for that to be your strength today? Hallelujah. Wings as eagles. Run and not be weary. Hallelujah. Walk and not faint. The empowerment of the Holy Spirit. What's Isaiah coming? What's Isaiah saying? It's time. It's time. So Galatians comes along and says, and when the time has been fulfilled, when the fullness of time has come. Hallelujah. So we fast forward all the way over to the book of Luke, chapter 1. Hallelujah. In Jerusalem, we come around all these years later, and all of a sudden, God begins to speak again. Now remember, it's been a long time since we've heard the word of God, the prophetic or the open voice of God speaking among his people. But we get in Luke chapter 1 and verse 5. And it says, there was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. That's a pretty profound statement, that even under the order of the old covenant and the old law, the scripture says they were both righteous before the Lord, and they both walked before the Lord blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. That means they're old. Okay? They're old. They are past their prime. Now, your version of old, I'll just leave that up to you. What you consider old, probably much older than anybody in here. And so it came to pass that while he executed the priest office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. So here we are, we have Zechariah, and he is of the lineage of the priest. He serves in the temple, and it's his lot. In other words, he drew straws, kind of. They cast lots, and it was his turn to actually get to go into the temple and offer incense unto the Lord. Now, this was something that usually only happened about once in your lifetime. So when you got the chance to do this, you had about a 2-week course, and you stayed there, and you offered the incense to the Lord, and you offered the prayers of the people, so that God would hear the prayers of the people and hope that the prayers of the people would be heard. So he finally gets picked for the part, and he's in here, and if you know anything about the tabernacle or the temple, even how it's set up, there's an outer court where sacrifice is made, and the animal is shed, the blood, shedding of the blood is outside the court. Then you would come into the holy place, which is where only the priest could come into, and they would put the table of showbread, and they would light the candlestick, and they would offer incense, but there was nobody allowed into that place except the priest. How many know that was a holy place? That was a place where you offered the incense and the prayers of the people. And then once a year, you would go into the most holy place, and the priest would offer the sacrifice for the people and the atonement for their sins. And God would accept the sins and cover the sins of the people. So Zechariah gets picked. It's his moment in time. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. How many know, why is Zechariah fearful? Well, he might be challenged by his sin, because all of a sudden the angel of the Lord shows up in there. Secondly, no one else is allowed in there but Zechariah, and all of a sudden there's somebody there. Thirdly, if God hasn't spoke for 400 years and he shows up on my shift, an angel of the Lord, the angel Gabriel, who stands in the presence of the Lord, and all of a sudden he's on my shift, he's fearful. He's afraid. How many know when the prophet of the Old Testament used to come to town, they say, do you come in peace? Or do you come bringing trouble? How many know when the man of God walked in town, you want to know if he was there on a good terms or bad terms? But the angel Gabriel shows up. And the angel says unto him, fear not. See, what I love about the scriptures of the coming of the birth of Messiah is almost all of them start out by saying, fear not, Zechariah. Fear not, Mary. Fear not, Joseph, to take Mary unto you as a wife. Fear not, shepherds, for behold, we bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Anybody here ever had to deal with fear? Hallelujah. How many know fear is crippling? Fear controls you. Fear will steal your dreams. Fear will keep you immobilized. Fear will keep you from stepping out into what God wants you to do. Fear will keep you from hearing the voice of the angels or the voice of Gabriel that wants to say something profound over your life. So he says to Zechariah, fear not. Hallelujah. I receive that today. Fear not. If you're struggling, you need to receive that today. Fear not. Hallelujah. For what God's about to do isn't about you. It's a God thing. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that it's not about who's the most perfect, who does everything just right, but even in my weakness, he is strong in me, and he's powerful to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can even ask or think. But he says to Zechariah, fear not, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Now this is a backup because I got to cover this one for just a little bit. A couple things are happening here. He says to Zechariah, number one, fear not. Hallelujah. For what I'm about to say to you, I'm going to empower you to do it. Aren't you glad that when God speaks something in your life, he never speaks a word over you. He never calls you to do something that he does not empower you to do it. So he said, fear not, Zacharias. For thy prayer is heard. Now, I love this. I thought about this week. In other words, he says to Zechariah, I heard you. I heard you. How many times have you ever prayed a prayer and think, I don't know if God even hears my prayer? But he shows up with Zechariah and he said, don't be afraid, Zechariah. I hear you. I heard your prayer. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful today that God hears you? He hears your prayers. He hears your stress. He hears your concern. He hears your heart today. That gives me peace. That gives me comfort. That takes away my fear. I hear you, Zach. I heard your prayer. And not just your prayer. I heard the prayer of the people. Because I'm sure Zechariah is thinking, well, which prayer, Gabe? Which prayer are you talking about? The one about the people, and we're praying for the oppression of the Romans and all the things, the state of the affair of your people, that the promised children of God, is that the prayer? Or maybe the prayer I've prayed. I mean, if he would show up, if the angel Gabriel would show up today to me and say, I heard your prayer, and I'll have to get out my book and say, which one? Because I got a lot of prayers in there. Amen. I got more than one prayer waiting. And I would say, you heard my prayer. Well, which one was it? But he goes on to say to him, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Does anybody know what the name John means? Grace. It's another name for the word Jack or John. My grandmother named her sons Jack and John. She got it on both levels, didn't she? Grace and more grace. Grace that abounds. Hallelujah. The name John means grace. But Elizabeth shall bear thee a son and shall call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Oh, hallelujah. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. I love this because I read it in the message last night, and it said he won't drink wine or beer. That's how the Message Bible says it. He'll drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with what? The Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Aren't you glad when it's a Holy Ghost thing? He's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. What a powerful statement he makes to John. Many people's heart are going to be turned to the Lord because of this son named John. Many people's hearts are going to be changed because of this grace that's about to come. This grace that's about to show up on the scene, the voice. How many know the voice that we're talking about is the voice of grace? Hallelujah. That's going to turn many people's hearts to the Lord. Hallelujah. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. What a powerful prophetic word he begins to speak to Zechariah. God has heard you. And he's about to fulfill your prayer. He's about to answer your prayer. And what he's going to do in you is he's going to birth a voice in the earth. It's going to be the voice of grace. And he's going to prepare the way for the Messiah. Hallelujah. How many know that's time for a little praise break? A little Holy Ghost hoedown. Because the fullness of time has come. Comfort ye, my people. Say to them that their warfare is accomplished. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. How many know God's about to fulfill Isaiah's prophecy? And Isaiah standing on the portals of heaven having a shouting time and saying, I told you I wasn't a false prophet. I told you when I prophesied that God's going to fulfill his word. It don't matter how long it takes. It might not look like it's on your time, but I told you so. Hallelujah. I told you it was going to come to pass. Hallelujah. And Zechariah says unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? I'm old. And my wife, she's old too. Now, let me know when God begins to speak something to you, it doesn't always make sense. Anybody in the house this morning? God spoke things to me before. I'm thinking, this don't even make sense. Normal people don't do this. And if you'd think this out, you wouldn't attempt it. But God, in the fullness of time, because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They're going to mount up with wings as eagles. They're going to run and not be weary. And they're going to walk and not faint. And age don't mean anything when God speaks the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John's filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. It didn't come until the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. But it was on the scene. Even before we ever get to the upper room. How many know the Holy Ghost is from the beginning of time? Hallelujah. Because what you can do by the power of the Holy Ghost, it's not by your own strength, it's not by not might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And his response, and man can't get the credit for it, his response is, I'm old, and my wife, she's old. She is well stricken in years. That's King James version for saying she's old. She's past her day. She's past her prime. She done went through menopause. Hallelujah. And the angel answering said unto him, I'm Gabriel. I am Gabriel. I'm the messenger from God that stands in the presence of God. And I'm sent to speak these words and to show thee these glad tidings. In the portals of heaven, God says, Gabriel, I need you. The fullness of time has come. Might have seemed like forever to them, but in the moment, God says, Gabriel, I need you to go. I need you to show up. There's a man named Zechariah. He's been faithful. He's righteous. His wife has been righteous. I'm about to fulfill my prophecy in the fullness of time. I'm Gabriel that stands in the presence of God. Hallelujah. And behold, thou shalt be dumb. I love how King James says that. That means he's not able to speak. But don't you just love it when God leaves you speechless? He's not able to speak. He said, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And I look at this and I think, but you know what? Mary asked questions. She wasn't speechless. But I believe when Gabriel was in that point and he says, because you did not believe, because of your unbelief, I'm going to leave you speechless. Because I'm not going to allow you to talk yourself out of this, Zach. I'm not going to allow you to talk Zachariah. I'm not going to allow you to talk Elizabeth out of this. And I'm not even going to ask you to explain it to the people outside. He said, I'm just going to leave you silence in this. I mean, sometimes silence is golden. Because a whole lot of times my grandmother used to use the scripture, be still and know that I am God. How many know sometimes you just need to be silent and let God speak? Because we talk ourselves into and out of a whole lot of stuff if we just be silent before the Lord and say, Lord, have your way in me. Not my will, but yours be done. Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to work this out. I don't know how to make this happen. But I'm going to be silent, Lord. I'm going to quit complaining. I'm going to quit professing gloom and doom. I'm going to quit speaking negativity. And I'm just going to be silent in the presence of God. And you do what you need to do in me. And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. So what he would do was come out and he would say if God spoke anything to him while he was in there offering the incense. But he comes out and he's speechless and they say, well, he must have seen a vision. But he's not able to speak. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. Now let me just tell you this, that it's about a 2-week span of time that he's in there in this ministration in the temple where he's offering incense unto the Lord. I don't know if he's on day 1 or day 14, but I'm guessing if he's on day 1, it's a long 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying? Till I get home, because me and Miss Elizabeth, we got to have us a talk. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my approach among men. Now here's the deal. Zach gets a visitation from an angel named Gabriel, he who stands in the presence of God. And says, you and your wife, you're going to have a baby. He's going to be the voice in the earth, the voice of grace in the earth. Hallelujah. How many of Miss Elizabeth doesn't tell us that Miss Elizabeth got a visitor? As a matter of fact, she hadn't been getting that monthly visitor for a long time. Are you with me? She doesn't say that she got a visitor. Zach comes home. He can't talk. He can't tell her what he knows. He can't tell her what he just found out. Because he's speechless. How many know sometimes you just can't explain God? You can't put it into words what God is about to do. You can't put it into words what's happening inside of you. You can't put it into words that very thing you've longed for forever, all of a sudden things start to work out and God begins to bring forth what he promised you, and the vision and the dream and the purpose all of a sudden feels like it just might begin to be birthed in you. The thing you've desired for the longest time. Now I'm going to let you figure out how all this scenario played out. Somewhere along the line, they had to have some sort of little conversation. She says, crazy man. No. And she says, crazy. She says, could it be that after all of these years of emptiness and longing and disappointment, could it be that God truly did hear my prayer to take away my reproach among men. I mean, it was a reproach in that day to not bear a seed at all. And to not have a son meant you had no provision. You had no future. You could be left homeless as a widow without care or about provision. But beyond that, could it be the dream that has laid dormant in my heart and in my bosom for so long? God is going to cause to live. I don't know what your dream or your purpose or the seed of God that he has planted in you has, but if it has laid dormant, do not give up on your promise. Do not give up on the call or the hand of God in your life. You may seem like your life has passed you by. You may seem like it's never going to work out for you. But how many know the scripture says she hid herself for 5 months? And I thought about that. Wow, man, this would be a time of celebration, right? I finally find out I'm going to have a baby. She doesn't tell anybody. She hides herself for 5 months. I'd have done the same thing. Number one, you're not going to talk me out of it. You're not going to say, crazy old Elizabeth, you know you can't have a baby. You know you're too old for this, Elizabeth. You don't have a driver's license. You know you can't preach the gospel. I mean, some things just don't make sense. Hallelujah. Stand on this side. Somebody always want to talk you out of your dream. Hallelujah. I say that joking because when my mom was called into the ministry and Jenny and them were young, raised in a home that didn't have a lot of church background, and God began to speak things over them like you're going to preach to nations. And they said amongst them, how in the world is that going to happen? We don't even have a driver's license. I can't even get myself to the food line. We didn't have a food line, but I can't even get myself to town, much less how am I going to preach to nations. I mean, sometimes the promise of God don't seem like it's within your grasp. It doesn't seem like it's within your reach. It doesn't seem like it come to pass. I don't have the genes for it. I don't have the teaching for it. I don't have the money for it. I don't have the smarts for it. I don't have the anointing for it. Well, let me tell you what, it's a Holy Ghost thing. It's a God thing. And when the angel Gabriel shows up, the only thing you got to do is listen. Don't talk. Just listen. Hallelujah. And so she hides herself for 5 months because guess what? There's not one of them little tests you buy in the pharmacy to find out. There's no doctor's office to go and draw a vial of blood to find out, yes, you are. The only indication that you've got, and if she is past her time, she doesn't even have that indicator. The only indicator you've got is with if the tummy starts to be enlarged. If you start to feel life inside of you. If something different starts to happen. And about 5 months is when you begin to feel the movement of the baby. Now, I was in my 5th to 6th month period when I was pregnant with my first one. And the doctor says, have you felt it move? And I said, no. Should I have? He said, you should be feeling it any time. And so I waited. And I waited. To make sure everything was okay. I wanted to feel that baby. I knew I was pregnant, but I hadn't felt anything. I mean, sometimes you can be in a state of preparation and not really feel anything. But something begins to stir inside you. And so she's in about her 5th month, but all of a sudden the angel Gabriel has another stop to make. And he stops in the town of Nazareth as a little handmaiden named Mary. And he begins to say, you're going to have a baby, Mary. And it's not going to be Joseph's. It's not going to be of your own doing. It's going to be a Holy Ghost thing because you're chosen. You're highly favored. You're the handmaiden of the Lord. And she says, be it unto me according to your word. And she says, and Gabriel says, and your cousin, Elizabeth, guess what? She's going to have a baby. So Mary packs up her stuff. And it doesn't tell us if she tells Joseph first. It doesn't tell us if she contacts her. She says, Joseph's not going to be happy about this. As a matter of fact, if they find out with with, I'm with child, and I've been a spouse to a husband. They can stone me for this. And how am I going to explain it? It's a God thing. I've been overshadowed. It's the Holy Ghost. So I don't know what to do. I'm going to go see Elizabeth. I'm going to go find out if the word is happening in Elizabeth like I hear. Is there something happening? I got to connect with somebody who's heard the same things I'm hearing. I got to find somebody who's daring to believe beyond the supernatural realm. I'm going to connect myself with somebody who's got something happening in them. There's life and something being birthed in them. I got to find somebody else whose dream is being purposed in them. I'm packing up my donkey. I'm going to Elizabeth's house. And here's what I love. The scripture says that before Mary even gets to Elizabeth, she's hollering, Elizabeth, Elizabeth, are you home? And Elizabeth comes out of the house and she says, behold, the handmaiden of my Lord. And Mary says, then it's true, it's real. I heard from God, this really is going to happen. And I knew you were the handmaiden of the Lord, because when I heard your voice, Mary, when I heard the sound of your salutation, when you began to lift your voice, something happened inside of me, Mary. Something caused my baby to leap. And for the first time in all of my life, I felt the quickening of the Holy Spirit. And I felt life move inside of me. For the first time in my life, the promise of God, I can feel it. I know it's there. And I know God's word is true. I hid myself so nobody could talk me out of it. I didn't have any way to tell them. I didn't have an ultrasound. I didn't have a sonogram. I didn't have a blood test. I didn't have anything but a promise. I want to tell you this morning, if you don't have anything but a promise, you hold on to your promise. She said, I didn't have anything but a promise, but when I heard the sound, I heard something. I heard the sound of your greeting, your salutation, and it caused my baby to leap in my womb. It caused life to be stirred up in me. I felt the quickening of the Holy Spirit. The first movement of the baby in the womb is called the quickening. The scripture says, if that same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken and make alive your mortal body. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives and dwells in you, and it will cause your baby to leap. It'll cause life to be stirred up in you. It'll cause your dreams to be revived. It'll cause the promises of God to come forth in you. Hallelujah. We had to connect. Mary and Elizabeth, we had to connect. I had to see if the word was true. I had to see if what God said, because if God gave a baby to my cousin Elizabeth, then there's a, because listen, Mary's baby hasn't moved yet. She's still in that waiting stage. She's still wondering. She's still believing. She's still pondering. You might be in that waiting stage. Maybe you haven't felt it move yet. Maybe you're not really sure yet. You haven't seen it come to pass yet. But the best thing you can do is connect yourself with somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. Find somebody who's being stirred. Somebody who's feeling life in them. Somebody who's hearing the same things you're hearing, that can speak life in you. The scripture says, Mary stays another 3 months. Now, I'm always one of those people who always want to know the rest of the story, the little things they don't put in there. I don't know if she told Joseph first, or if she just packed up and went to Elizabeth. But she stayed for 3 months. Because in 3 months, it was the sixth month when she got there with Elizabeth. She stayed for 3 months. Guess how many months that is? You guys are fast. 9. How many months does it take to have a baby? 9 months. Somewhere, somehow, I think Elizabeth's thinking, I'm not leaving till I hold it, till I embrace it, till I kiss that precious face, till I embrace her dream and her baby, because then I can have faith to believe for my own. How many know sometimes what you got to do is nurture somebody else's dream until your dream comes to pass? Hallelujah. Be a Barnabas. Be a helper. Be an encourager. Say, I'm going to stay with you, Elizabeth. I'm going to see it be born. I'm going to see it come to pass. I'm going to stay right here, because not only am I going to embrace your dream and see you get to where you need to be, but it's going to give me courage and faith that what's happening in me is the same thing that's happening in you, and it's of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes when you don't see your dream come to pass, go ahead and nurture somebody else's. Go ahead and embrace somebody. Go ahead and cheer somebody else on. Hallelujah. Because the same Spirit dwells in you. Hallelujah. Is that the courage that gives her the confidence to go back home and say, Joseph, I don't know how you're going to take this, but I had a visitation. Gabriel stopped by my house. And maybe by that point, Joseph says, it's all right, Mary, because I had a visitation too. Because an angel stops by Joseph and says, fear not, Joseph, to take Mary as thy wife, for that thing which is born of her is of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And he's going to save the people from their sins, and you're going to call his name. You, Joseph, call his name Emmanuel, God with us. This is not a Joseph thing. It's not a Mary thing. It's a God thing. Hallelujah. That thing which is born in her is of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So they pack that baby up, and they take him back to this temple, as is the custom of the law, to have him circumcised and to name the baby, as would always have been the custom through the ages of centuries. You would have named him after the lineage of his father, little Zachariah, little Zach, whatever you want to call him. When they take him into the temple and they offer him, they bring him back out. And they said, oh, Elizabeth, what a beautiful baby. We're going to call him little Zach. Zachariah says, no, somebody hand me pencil paper. Somebody get me something to write on. His name's going to be called John. They said, say what? There's nobody in your family named John. His name means grace. And the angel said, name him Grace. The angel said, call him John. The angel said, he is the number one voice, the voice, named Grace, in the fullness of time has come. Hallelujah. The voice of one who will cry in the wilderness. Call his name John. And I love that, because we always want to put our label and our name. We want to call it what we want to call it. But let me just tell you this morning, don't let nobody else name your baby. Let nobody else label your dream. Don't let anybody else limit your vision and your purpose. They might call it crazy. They might call it afflicted. They might call it an addiction. They might call it forsaken. They might call it lost. See, we call things a whole lot of names. And we frame worlds by the power of our voice. And if we really believe that, we'll start speaking life everywhere that we go. I'm not going to let you name my baby. God named this baby John. Hallelujah. Grace is on the scene. Grace has come. Full of grace and truth. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem them who were under the law, by this thing called grace. Hallelujah. How many know John was the last of the Old Testament prophets? The last prophetic voice of the Old Testament prophets. And he stands up and says, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. I am not he, but there is one who's coming, who is mightier than I, and his shoes I'm not even worthy to unlatch. He is the Messiah, the anointed one. He said, I'm not the one, but I'm the last of the one who is to come. And when John the Baptist joined hands that day on the Jordan River to be baptized, John says, man, I have need to be baptized of you. He said, no, John, let it be so. Because when you and I join hands, we're going to join an old covenant and a new covenant together. We're going to pull together something that's needed, put together for a whole lot of time. And we're going to join hands. And when we do, the Jordan River is not going to roll back like it did for Joshua. But guess what? The heavens are going to roll back. And when the heavens roll back, God speaks from the heavens and said, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him in whom I am well pleased. And from that point on, John says, he must increase and I must decrease. The law and the prophets fulfilled by him who is to come, the babe in the manger, the perfect lamb of sacrifice, what the law could not do for you. God came in the form of a servant, hallelujah, that he could give us life and give it to us more abundantly. In the fullness of time, in God's time, hallelujah. I mean, there were times in our life that it seemed like the promise would delay. I mean, in Isaiah's time, it seemed like the promise delayed. But the day would come when the fulfillment of that time would be brought to pass. Hallelujah. Because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Aren't you thankful for the strength of the Lord? Hallelujah. Strength to conceive. Strength to bear the promise. Strength to embrace everything that God has placed inside of you. And not only see come to pass in your life what God has purposed, but see it come to pass in those around you and those you love. Hallelujah. To embrace that. To look in the face of God. To literally look in the face of God and say, this is the answer. Hallelujah. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Stand to your feet with me this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Mom, you were talking about Handel this morning earlier, and I was thinking, I did a lesson on Handel this week at school because it is the Christmas season and part of the Messiah. It's not all about Christmas. The first part is the coming of Christ. The second part is the death, and the third part deals with the resurrection. But Handel was actually... considered past his prime, too. When he composed the Messiah, he was in his late 50s, and at the time, that was, you know, you were well stricken in years. And he had also suffered a massive stroke. He was blind in one eye, and he was going blind in the other. And he wasn't a religious man. In the 1700s, the trendy or the most popular music were operas, and they were very elaborate, and they were only for the wealthy. And Handel was not, he wasn't remembered as being a religious man or, you know, a man of the cloth, or he never got married, he never had children. And he wrote fabulous operas, some of the most beautiful music. And at the time, any music that was written for the church was not allowed to be played in a theater because they thought that was sacrilegious. If you religious music wasn't entertainment. And so in his late 50s, Handel had an encounter with Christ, or, you know, whatever you want to, God. He had a vision. And he locked himself in his room for 23 days. And he didn't hardly eat. He didn't hardly sleep. And being a man that doesn't really, if you're not a religious person, to have that sort of experience kind of seems unlikely or impossible. But he wrote this piece of music in 23 days, where a normal opera may take you 3 or 4 years to write. You had to write all the music by hand. The instruments in the orchestra are not all pitched the same. You can't say, we're going to play this in C, because that might only work for one instrument. He hand wrote this entire piece, and he came up, instead of it being an opera, he called it an oratorio. There's no sets, there's no design, there's no lead singer. And he told the king, after he had written and come out, and they were going to perform this, and they had a hard time deciding where to perform it because it was this huge piece. And he wanted a lot of people to see it. And so they were going to perform it in the church. And Handel told them no, that he wanted everyone to be a part of this. The peasants, people who were destitute, people who couldn't come into the courts where most of his music was played. And so he's always been one of my favorite because he was well stricken in years. He had a lot of things against him, and he didn't even really claim to believe in God. Yet he wrote one of the most powerful pieces of music. If you ever get a chance to listen to it, I highly recommend it. And the Alleluia chorus is actually about, it's the Easter celebration when Christ rises. That's when they sing the Alleluia chorus. And one of the stories is that the king fell asleep during one of the more calm pieces, and he was kind of jolted awake and thought it was the national anthem. So, of course, the king stands, and if the king stands, everybody else stands. And so to this day, they still stand. But the king told Handel after the performance of the Messiah, the opening night, the heavens opened, and I saw the face of God. And that just speaks to me. You know, don't give up on your dream. Yes, it may be dormant, but he's going to bring it to pass. And he may not bring it how you think, but it's going to come.
Amen. Amen. Profound.